God in heaven, it is so true how much we need Christ, how much we need you, your Spirit. Father, we need you. Without you, we have nothing. We can do nothing. No human being can live without your kindness and your provision. No saint can be forgiven outside of Christ. Help us, Father, abide in Him. Stay connected to Him. Remember our need of Him every hour, even this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, Grace Fellowship Church. 21 years ago, last month, my life changed dramatically. My eternity changed, and also my life changed. That's when God saved me. And then 14 years ago, this week, my life changed forever in a very dramatic way. Emily's life changed in a very dramatic way. The direction of my entire family was forever transformed. 14 years ago this week, I was ordained as the pastor of what was then Legacy Church. That was 14 years ago this week. As I was reflecting this morning a little bit about that, which I really don't do very often, I was overcome with thankfulness and praise to my Father God and His providential plan to use me in the way He has. I left a career in the financial services industry in 2008, just after the market crash of 2008. Had God not called me to be a pastor, I would undoubtedly be very wealthy today, for sure. The business I had helped build has done extremely well and provided lots of financial benefit, and that would have been true for myself and my wife and our family. I probably would have been winding down my career right about now, there. Especially given the way the markets are today, I can see myself of being tired of that. But I would have played golf and traveled to wonderful destinations. Most likely I would own property in other places like Arizona or Florida. I would most likely have never been slandered and reviled and lied about in very public ways. I most likely would have not lost relationships with some friends. I would not have had damaged and severed relationships with even my children, my family. So why am I so thankful? You all. This. My daughter Sophia. My son Jonathan. All of you. The family that this church is. The work we do in Kenya. I have a life that's filled with the joy of seeing God's people saved and sanctified. And while that can be true for every Christian, and it is true for every Christian, true of every one of you in here, brothers and sisters, but for me, in a very special way, 14 years ago, God changed my life. And you are my greatest joy. I truly believe I'm the most blessed man here. God has been so kind to me in saving me and then in taking me as a Christian away from a life that I was living that wasn't. It was getting better. It was trusting in the Lord and all the things that were going on in my life. You know, even the success of the business from 01 to 08 was because of God changing my life. So all of that was to His glory and because of His kindness and His mercy and His grace. And yet, when He took me to the corner of 6th and Marquette to pastor a mess, using this mess, what a great gift that was. I'm very thankful. Praise God for His kindness to me. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. We're coming to the end of Luke's accounting of the Sermon on the Mount. We've been doing this for a couple of months. As we know, Matthew's accounting of the Sermon on the Mount was much longer. And I think we spent about 9 months going through that years ago. I think it was back in like 2010. I don't remember. A long time ago. Some of you were here for that. Matter of fact, that was a very interesting time in the life of this church. But we're coming to the final part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Luke's rendition. And I trust that God has been growing us in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through this. Remember, Jesus preaching to a very large crowd. He's got quite a following by this time because of the miracles He had been doing for about a year in Judea and then came back to to His hometown, was run out. He had apostles and disciples and then a large crowd, a multitude in this audience. Remember, the apostles were those He had specially chosen to carry on His ministry when He was gone. The disciples were those that were just learners. They were followers. It was fairly common for people in that day to have, they would go travel around. They would have people following them and learning from them. And so Jesus had a large number of disciples. And then He had the multitudes. He had this bunch of people who were there kind of because of what He had been doing. They really weren't interested in learning. They were more interested in seeing the show. Inside of that group that was there was Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes and the religious elite from Jerusalem were there hearing this Sermon on the Mount. So what He's going to do today as He closes out this sermon, he is going to have his audience to consider fruits and foundation. So if you would please stand, I'm going to read verses 43 through 49. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor grapes are picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. You may be seated. In this room today, we have people who have built their spiritual dwelling place, if you will, their house on the rock of Jesus Christ. And no matter what comes, won't be shaken. We have people in here who have built their spiritual foundation, their dwelling on the ground, the earth, the dust. And when calamity comes, you will fall. This passage is one that ought to grab the attention of all of those who name the name of Jesus as their Lord, to consider the condition of their spiritual household, to think about the fruits of their lives and those around them. Jesus had been preaching in this sermon spiritual poverty, hungering for righteousness, mourning over one's sin, being hated for Christ's sake, loving one's enemies, not returning evil for evil, not living tit for tat, not to judge unbelievers with a standard different than the one you want to be judged with, to help his audience to see that they need to see their sinfulness and their own brokenness and to repent of it, and not to follow teachers of the ways of the world into where they're headed, and that's hell. This is the way to heaven. This is the way a true Christian or a child of God lives. They run the family business. In verses 39 through 42 we looked at last week, where he came and started to tell them this parable, and we're still inside of the same kind of section, so I wanted to read it and remind us where we were. He said, "Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and you'll see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye." So he's telling them, and remember, in that audience were the Pharisees and the scribes and some rabbis and the people who were actually leading these people, and he's actually telling them, be careful. Be careful who you follow. Now, telling the disciples, count the cost and see this is what it is to be a Christian, this is what it is to be a follower of Christ, and to consider who you're following. Look out for these false teachers. These religious Jews that are blind on the ways to get to heaven and are leading you in those same ways. Jesus goes on now here to say that Christians are to be fruit inspectors of those we are led by and ourselves. That fruit inspectors, you know, one of the pejoratives that people like to throw at Christians is, don't be a fruit inspector. You ought not be a fruit inspector. You ought not be inspecting other people's fruits. Well, Jesus tells us that we ought be. Other people's that we're following in particular, or that we're around, and our own. He's warning them concerning the men that he's just talked about, that he's talking about in the previous verses. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Look, it is just an obvious reality in nature. An apple tree produces apples. An apple tree does not produce pears. It's obvious. So a good tree produces good fruit, an evil tree produces evil fruit. In Matthew's accounting of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:12, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets." So again, he gives them the golden rule. Then he says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Many, most people who thought they were headed to heaven were actually headed to hell. And that's actually true today. Many people who believe they're headed to heaven are actually headed to hell. There's a big sign over the Church of the Latter-day Saints that says this way to heaven, and it leads directly to hell. Big sign over Kingdom Hall that says this way to heaven, and it leads directly to hell. Big sign over the Roman Catholic Church that said this way to heaven, and it leads directly to hell. There's a big sign over the antinomian, big Eva, easy believism church that says this way to heaven and it leads directly to hell. There's a big sign over the fundamentalist at the deepest levels saying this way to heaven and it just leads to hell. Beware of false prophets, Jesus says in Matthew, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. And again, he then talks about their fruits. He's talking about those that they're following. As Christians, we are to examine the fruits of those we follow. What are the words that come out of their mouths? Here it says in verse 45, for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. What gospel are they preaching? Where are they putting their hope and teaching you to put yours? Matthew 12:33, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, he says to these religious leaders. How can you speak good when you're evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. One who believes in a false gospel preaches a false gospel. One who trusts in something other than Christ alone preaches something other than Christ alone. The fruit that comes out of the mouth, the abundance of the heart that comes out of the mouth of people like Bodhi Bauckham or Spurgeon or John MacArthur, it's good fruit. Joel Osteen or T.D. Jakes or the Pope or Joseph Smith or Charles Taze Russell, evil things come out of their mouths because they have an evil heart. You can know them by their fruits, and part of the fruits is what you see happening in their lives, which we'll look at in a little bit also, but it's also what are they speaking. See, and for yourself, you can see the condition of your heart based on what are you speaking to yourself or to others. What is the gospel that you know and that you preach? Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. For it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by food which have been... not benefit those devoted to them. You are to inspect the fruits of my life. What comes out of my mouth? What am I teaching you? The gospel that I preach and the outcome of living out the life based on that gospel. And if I ever teach you or preach to you or live in a way that says my hope or your hope ought to be in this earth, you should rebuke me, reproof me, and if I don't repent, you should leave me. You should kick me out of this church. We're to be careful not to follow false prophets proclaiming false gospel. That's having them go to hell and anybody who believes them. The words that we speak, the fruit of our lips is either good or bad, and it comes from our heart. What do we actually believe? What actually dwells inside of us? Matthew 12:35, the good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, we'll give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. It's not as if because of the way I talk I'm going to go to hell, or because of the way I talk I'm going to go to heaven, or I'm justified. It's because of what's in my heart will come out of my mouth. And as it pertains to the gospel, what is it that I have my hope and my trust in? How do I live my life based on this gospel that I preach? How do you live your life? What comes out of your mouth, you will be judged by. Because what comes out of a believer's mouth is good. Not perfect, good. What comes out of an unbeliever's mouth is evil. Matthew 15:18, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. We can inspect the fruits of a man or a woman by the words that come out of their mouth. We can inspect our own fruits by the words that come out of our mouth. He's telling these disciples right in front of their false leaders that were right there, these wolves amongst them, to examine the words and the lives of their leaders and of themselves. 1 Thessalonians 5:20, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Test all the words of God you hear. Stay away from evil people, bad trees producing bad fruit. Test everything. Test everything against what? Against the Word. Test everything against what is it based upon? What is it built upon? Christ or something else? 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Look, in Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, he's talking about self-righteous, judgmental people that teach you to be self-righteous and judgmental. That teach you to look to the things of this world for your joy and your fulfillment. Those are false prophets. Test the words you hear from your leaders against the words that he speaks. Poverty. Humiliation. Hungering for a righteousness not your own. Not judging others by a standard that you would not want to be judged by. Loving your enemies. Doing good to those who hate you and hate God. Peter, 2 Peter 3:15, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation. Just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him. As he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable. So these hard things that Paul's written about, the ignorant and unstable, they twist them to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. They take the word of God and they twist it. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Watch out for people who twist the scriptures. They're going to be destroyed. And if you follow them, you will be destroyed right along with them. Watch out that you don't twist the words yet of the scriptures, lest you be like Satan. Don't twist the scriptures to your own benefit, because it's actually to your own destruction. Don't be carried away by the errors of these lawless people, these wolves. Focus on the teaching of Jesus by the grace he supplies. Look, most of us, at least us old people, have heard the expression garbage in, garbage out. Yes? Garbage in, garbage out. If you put garbage in, garbage is going to come out. You put evil, false teachings in, evil, false teachings are going to come out. So be careful that you not put in a twisting of the scripture, that what comes out is destruction. Do not, he's saying, do not allow garbage in. Test it. Test the fruit out of the mouth, the overflow of the heart, that someone is speaking against the Word of God. Examine the words that we hear spoken and that we speak. These words come from the heart, and it's either an evil heart or it's a good heart. Again, words of humility and brokenness over our sins, graciously forgiving, kind, loving words and deeds towards our haters and God haters. We are to be fruit inspectors of the words we speak and the words that we hear spoken. And then we are to see how the life coming from this heart and this speaking, what the life looks like that goes along with that. What are the fruit? What is the fruit, or the fruit that every Christian will produce? Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual morality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry. See, there's these preachers that we come to find out there's sexual morality in their lives, and has been. And churches rarely want to just take away their pastorate and put them aside. They want to somehow try to justify that. And look, this is not a fruit-bearing man. And see, we are to bear fruit, and we are to examine the fruits in our lives and those around us and those who lead us. Sexual morality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Christians will have fruit in our speaking and the way we live. So be careful to stay connected to good teaching, the teaching of Christ, and to live those out. How is the only way good fruit can come? John 15:4. Abide in me, and I in you, Jesus said. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Remember, the only fruit that you can produce, that I can produce, is in our abiding in Christ. We cannot produce good fruit in and of ourselves. Because in and of ourselves, outside of God's work in us, we are evil. But if we abide in Christ and His teachings, then what we will have is much fruit. If anyone preaches a different gospel that has anything to do with self-righteousness or self-production, or any other source than Jesus Christ for the way to live right, like the philosophies of men, run. If we preach, if you preach in your heart or in your mind or with your mouth a different gospel of self-righteousness, law-abiding, self-sustaining salvation, then repent. We know what the Bible teaches, and we can talk about it and nod our heads. But here's the truth. If not for Christ, I am doomed today. If not for Christ, you are doomed today. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. But in Him, we will bear much fruit. Again, I look out and I see fruit being produced in your life. And I praise God for it. I'm talking about lots of fruit. I'm not just talking about physical fruit like children or financial gain to be used for the kingdom. No, I'm talking about fruit of right living because of an abiding in Christ. I also see where when we get away from that, it's centered anywhere in ourselves, there's no real fruit being produced. There's a lot of meaningless, empty works that won't have any treasure in heaven. Now, Jesus is not going to shift gears here, but it seems like a little gear shift. He's going to take them somewhere. He's going to take us somewhere that we really need to go. And we really need to think about. And you really need to help those in your life who claim the name of Jesus Christ. You really want to help them think about it. He's closing out his Sermon on the Mount, and he compares solid and shallow foundations. First thing, he asks this rhetorical question. It's a question that cuts every Christian. And it has us to be spurred on to love and good works, I would argue. Here's the question he asks. He's talking to all these disciples, this big gap, people that are following him, most of which or all of which will leave him soon. And they're all calling him Lord. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Many of us in here today would call Jesus Lord. Why do you call me Lord? And most of the people that were listening to Jesus on this day were still following and obeying this law-abiding religious system, this works-based religion called Judaism. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do, poieo, to do, to make, perform, act, carry out? Why do you call me Lord and not perform or carry out my commands? In Matthew's gospel, in this place, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, but what about Romans 10, 9 and 10? If you confess the Lord with your mouth, you will be saved. Is that not true? Where does that confession come from according to Romans 10, 9 and 10? From the heart. Out of the heart, what's spoken. Evil people can say, Lord, Lord. But if you're not doing what you're commanded, I'll tell you in a minute who you're like, he said. And I'll tell you who you are if you do. But why do you call me Lord, Lord? In Matthew 7, not everyone says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. What is the will of the Father? Well, there's lots of God's revealed will for us. What is the will of the Father who is in heaven that will enter the kingdom of heaven is to believe, repent, and believe on Jesus for salvation, and then live like His child. Be poor in spirit. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Mourn over sin. Seeking God's mercy. Knowing you have no hope without it. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And cast out demons in your name? And do many mighty works in your name? Did we not, they will say to me on that day, did we not do a bunch of religious activities in Jesus' name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. You continue to live in this antinomian way. Live as if the law has no bearing on your life. You who continue to willfully sin against God without repentance and seeking forgiveness. You who think you can follow the law well enough. And you who think simply by saying, Lord, Lord, will get you into heaven. It won't. Because with the heart one believes, and with the mouth one confesses. The confession is not the issue, the heart is the issue. You see, calling me Lord is not enough, Jesus said. You must believe that I am the Lord, and you must desire to obey my commands. To repent of your sins, and to turn to God in contrition. Now and forevermore. Obey Jesus' commands as He's given us in His Word. James 1. Be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Listen, if you hear the Word, if you hear, repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you do not do that, and you think you're going to heaven, you're deceiving yourself. If you hear, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and what goes on inside of you is, I have no desire to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not capable of doing that. I don't need to do that. You're deceiving yourself. Love my enemy. I'll punch my enemy. You're deceiving yourself. Pray for those who persecute me. Yeah, I'll pray prayers of lamentation and of destruction. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, but not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. He looks himself and goes away at once and forgets what he is like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. It is not enough to confess Jesus with one's mouth as Lord. It is enough to believe in one's heart that He is God and your Savior and your Lord and obey His commands. Like, love your enemies. Like, hate your own sin. Like, don't trust in your religion or your works. Like, don't trust in yourself. Stop doubting your salvation because of your imperfections. Stop resting in your confession as you continue in willful sin. Those who are hearers and not doers, they're deceived. This is what we see in 1 Corinthians 6. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Don't deceive yourself. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Don't deceive yourselves. Don't hear these words. Keep doing these things and presuming on the grace of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. This is who I was. This is who every one of us was, brothers and sisters. Me personally, all of these except for one, I checked every box. And if I was the same, confessing Lord Jesus and living the same way, I am deceiving myself. God has delivered me from these things. I am washed. I am sanctified. I am set apart from these things. I am justified in and through Jesus. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Listen, there's nothing scary or wrong or navel-gazing about examining ourselves. We are to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? This is exactly what Jesus is telling his audience that day, this very thing. I'm telling you what it's like to be a child of God, Jesus is saying. I'm telling you what a child of God thinks like, acts like, speaks like, and lives like. Is this you? And in your mind you're saying, well, no, that's not me. I'm doomed. No, that's not me perfectly, but that is my desire, and I am not doomed because of Jesus Christ. Because if you hear those things and you respond with, well, then I must be perfect. I am perfect. You deceive yourself. Are you living a life as if Jesus is Lord? Or simply saying, Lord, Lord, and living like you are Lord? It's worth looking. I trust you won't fail the test. But are you living a life where you say, Lord, Lord, and you're living a life as if that were accurately true? He is Lord. Or are you saying, Lord, Lord, and living a life as if you're Lord? Who do you follow? False teachers that have put worldly ideas into your mind that you can go to in times of wanting to feed the flesh, or Christ Jesus, who clearly tells us many ways, clearly tells us how we are to live for God's glory and for Christ's sake. Jesus says, look, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Then he says, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. Well, the words they've just heard is words of poor in spirit, of mourning over sin, of not trusting in themselves, of not treating others by a different standard they want to be treated by. There's many things that Jesus says, but everyone who comes to me, hears my words, and does them, I will show you what he is like. Everyone who hears, akouo, to pay attention to believe and respond, obey, listen and conform to what was heard. Everyone who listens and conforms to what he has heard and does them. In other words, they hear, yep, I agree, that's how I ought live, and then does them. Poeo, to do, to make, perform, act, carry out. Same word we saw earlier. Not comes, listens, and does not do what Jesus said. Yep, I agree, but I'm not gonna, I'm not capable, I'm not willing. Not that. Rather, the one who comes sees their brokenness, their wretchedness, their hopelessness, and turns to Christ for power and direction, and then does the things He actually instructs them to do. That person. To everyone who comes to Me and hears, everyone who does what I say, they forsake their self-righteousness. They love their enemies. They forgive. They don't judge. They see their own brokenness. He is like a man. And because of that, they have their faith and trust in Christ. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. This first man built his house by digging deeply into the rock, into the foundation. So when a storm came, his house did not fall. Think about if you go to the beach, kids. I hadn't thought about this till right now, so it won't be any good probably. But you just set something on the beach, and the wave comes up and hits it. What's going to happen to it? It's going to get knocked over and taken away, yes? But if you were to dig down into that sand deeply and give a foundation under that, that water could come up and hit it, and it would stay put. So this man here, who digs deep and laid the foundation on the rock so this storm won't hurt his house, what is the rock that this man, whose house will stand, dug deeply into? Well, the rock is God. Again, these listeners to Jesus would have understood this rock is the true God of the universe, Yahweh. The rock that Hannah, Samuel's mother, prayed to in 1 Samuel 2:2, there is none holy like Yahweh. For there is none beside you, there is no rock like our God. The rock that Yahweh, the rock Yahweh that David sang about when he'd been delivered from all of his enemies in 2 Samuel 22, 2 and 3. He said, "The Lord, Yahweh, is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You saved me from violence." The rock is God Himself. That is the one that we must build on the foundation of. Our souls should be, our spiritual houses must be built on the rock, on God. That is what we will build on if we want to have a foundation that will not be shaken when a storm comes. On the true God of the universe, who manifested Himself in the person of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Isaiah 28:16. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of assured foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste." This is Jesus. This is Isaiah prophesying about Jesus. Jesus is the rock on which we are to dig deeply into and lay a foundation that is sure and won't be destroyed. All of our hope buried in Jesus. Dug deeply and planted firmly in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3:11. "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians 10:4. "And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ." Jesus Christ is the rock. This is what He's telling them at the Sermon on the Mount. If you hear My words and obey them, you will have a solid foundation. And here's My words. You're sinners. Your religion won't save you. You need the salvation that's from God. And I am He, says Jesus. Believe that. Build on that foundation. Ephesians 2:19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. We continue to be added on to this foundation called the church, God's people. It's all built on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. He is the rock on which a man must build his spiritual house, if you will, that it not crumble. Now he's going to go on to describe the one who builds something that won't be able to stand when the storm comes. Something to think about is, these two houses, if they were near one another, they would look much the same. Because to the eye, you only see what's above ground. So they're going to look much the same. But the one who hears and does not do them, does not repent and put their faith and trust in Christ, continues to trust in themselves, continues to act as if there is no God, continue to act like God would never send people to hell, he's too nice for that, whatever it is they're putting their trust in, who does not do what Christ commands, is like a man who built a house on ground without a foundation. Built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Broke against it. Prosergunami. To strike against, to burst against, a wadi torrent burst against the house. Most of you of us saw the devastation recently of Hurricane Ian. If you didn't, in Southwest Florida, you saw the demolition of Sanibel Island and Fort Myers Beach. I mean, just this water, these waves and these winds just came and just literally knocked everything down in its site. Now, there were a few buildings that withstood, and they actually had been built differently. Their foundations were built differently. But you saw what came. This is what he's talking about. This storm comes against these houses in this word picture he's given us. They're going to crumble. This, your spiritual life, your house, your soul, your being is going to be decimated and destroyed just like those houses you saw that were gone, destroyed, obliterated, ruined. Think about these two houses. When the storms of life come, we will see what kind of foundation someone's life is built upon. We have temporary trials and temptations and devastating events. How will these two buildings be different? What happens to these spiritual dwelling places? What happens when you get a cancer diagnosis? Are you hopeful or fearful? Are you clinging to this life, or are you ready to go be with the rock? If there's a distribution to our food supply, which I'm no prophet, I'm convinced is coming. But either way, it may not. But if it were to come, that storm of a disruption to our food supply, how are these two houses going to look when that storm comes? Well, the one built on the foundation, the rock of Jesus Christ, panic or trusting God? Hoarding or sharing? Gracious or stingy? You lose your job. None of us have had this happen, but fairly confident one of you is going to lose your job because of your faith. How will you respond? Seek first the kingdom of God. Know that He'll give you these things that you need. Willing to work, trusting God will provide work if you're willing to work. Or panic, start to steal or lie. Something else that has not happened in this congregation since I've been pastoring, some of you have had this happen, the death of a child. Brothers and sisters, when we're here long enough, we're going to have a child die. Again, I'm no prophet. It's what happens. And we've had children die. We've had children die in the womb. We've already had that happen. And what does it look like when that comes our way? What does it look like when the child out of the womb, when they actually perish? What's that going to look like? What's it going to look like for the one who has it built on this ground, this earth? It's going to decimate them. It's going to crumble. But for those who have the foundation is built on the rock of Jesus Christ, we're going to know that God is wise and good and perfect in everything He does. We're going to trust Him. We're not going to say, God is not fair. This shouldn't happen. God doesn't even exist. That's what happens to a house that's not built on the foundation, that's built on the ground of this earth, because all you have is the life on this earth. What's it going to look like when you have financial ruin? Will you still believe you're rich because you have Christ, or will you believe you're poor because you have nothing left that's of this earth? Tyranny of a government. We're under it. How will you react? How will the house that's built on the foundation, where we will obey God, not man, will we fight for the gospel or we fight for our constitutional rights? Or which we fight harder for, if you want to be able to fight for both? Will we proclaim the truth and stand firm, or will we succumb to unlawful orders and follow them to preserve our lives? Jab, no. Don't gather together? No, we'll gather. Celebrate transgenderism, use correct pronouns, we will not. These houses that you see all over the Christian North America, they're falling, they're crumbling, because they're built on the ground. They're built on the things of this world. And they're crumbling right before your eyes. You're watching it happen if you just look. We won't be that, will we? Jesus is warning mostly here, though, about final judgment. Final judgment. When the Lord returns to judge, when the storm of judgment comes, what will happen to these two different spiritual dwellings? What will happen to the one that's built on the eternal? You see, to build it on God is the eternal God, the forever God, Christ Jesus, the forever. That's building it on the eternal. If we build it on this earth, this ground, what is on this earth, it is temporary. It will fall. It will be ruined. Second Thessalonians 1, starting in verse 3. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly. He's happy with the church at Thessalonica. He's giving thanks because their faith is growing. The love of every one of you for another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you and the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and the afflictions you are enduring. Church at Thessalonica, storms are beating up against you through persecutions and sufferings, and you are standing firm, built on the foundation, and we thank God for that. And we tell people about that. Verse 5, this is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are also suffering. You're suffering because you're worthy of the kingdom. Since indeed God considers it just, listen, to repay with affliction those who afflict you. So those who were calling themselves religious, these Jews that were killing and persecuting these Christians in Thessalonica and elsewhere, to repay with affliction those who afflict you, and to grant relief to those to you who are afflicted as well as to us. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, here's what it's going to look like. In flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. If you do not obey the gospel, what is the gospel? That you're a sinner in front of a holy God. And that there's nothing you can do to make yourself right with this God, but that God Himself came to live, Jesus Christ. He lived a perfectly sinless life and died a sinner's death to take on the wrath of those who had put their faith and trust from Him. And in 3 days He rose and He now sits at the right hand of the Father. The gospel that's all about Jesus Christ. If you don't obey that gospel, if you put your hope in anything else, if you put your hope in your religion or your good works or your faith or your obedience, all things that false religions teach you over and over again, if you put your hope in the denial that a God even exists, if you put your hope in God's too kind to destroy any of His creation made in His image, if you put your hope any other foundation other than Jesus Christ alone, if you don't obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but when He comes, verse 10, on that day to be glorified in His saints and be marveled at among all who believe, because our testimony to you was believed, when He comes to judge, He will be glorified by His saints, marveled at by all who believe. The saints will not be destroyed. They will worship Jesus in perfection when He returns, because their house is built on a solid foundation of Jesus Christ. Honestly, think in your head, is my hope in Christ alone? Or do I find myself with my hope on things of this earth, my performance, my religion, my obedience, my faith? Revelation 20:12, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. The books were opened, then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown in the lake of fire. If your spiritual house, if your eternal soul is anchored in this earth and not in Jesus Christ, you will be ruined on the day of judgment. You will suffer in the lake of fire. It does not matter what your mouth says, unless what your mouth says is an overflow of a heart that believes and that is ready to obey. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Let me tell you what that looks like. For those that do, it looks like a house that won't fall no matter how hard the storm. It's built on the foundation of Christ, on God Himself. But let me tell you about those who don't. Let me tell you about those who build the foundation of their spiritual house on anything temporal. Destroyed. Ruined. Damned. Closing thought. False teachers and those who follow them have their hope rooted in their religion, their works, their faith, their obedience, etc. But Christians have our hope on and in Christ alone. His righteousness, His perfection, His holiness, His life, His propitiation, His resurrection, His ascension, His advocacy. Think about it. That's where we build our faith. That is where our foundation is. It is in Christ alone. His righteousness, His perfections, His holiness, His life, His propitiation, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, His advocacy. It's all in Him. That's where our hope is built. And the storm will come. It will not shake us. But if it's built on anything else than other than Christ, you will come to ruin, temporarily and eternally. Our lives are filled with fruits of His work in our lives as we obey our Lord, our King, Jesus. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit, for figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. When the flood arose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Father, thank you for Christ. Thank you for the sure foundation that we can dig deeply into and plant our spiritual dwelling, rooted and grounded in Him. Thank you for your grace that brought us the gospel, that reminds us of the gospel and our need for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the rock on whom our hope is built. In His name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing hymn 381, The Solid Rock. The Solid Rock.